Welcome back to the Holler at the TN Holler on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. What I miss. That's pretty much it. Appreciate you guys supporting us. As always, you can catch all the hollers hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support, we really do appreciate it. Chipping a few bucks a month, it goes a long way. I want to send a shout out to Elisa Parker. If you're buying or selling in Middle Tennessee, do it through her. If you need some jewelry, Eric, AJ Martin. And if you ever need a lawyer for any particular reason, Abby Rubenfeld is very supportive of us. So we recommend everybody call Abby. All right. Today, we are talking about something that we've been talking about for quite a while now and will continue to talk about all the way through the coming session, because this is the priority for Governor Lee, which means it will be the priority for a lot of people this coming session. Private school vouchers, the private school voucher scam, whatever you want to call it. And one thing that has been happening quite a bit lately, actually the most since we started the Holler that we've seen, is local voices have already been speaking up against private school vouchers taking public funds and steering them to private schools. We've seen superintendents across the state in places like Greenville, Collierville, all kinds of conservative areas, not just Memphis and Nashville, although there too. One of the local voices here in Williamson County where I live that I tend to listen to, even though we don't agree on everything, but I do appreciate when he speaks up, and that's Eric Welch, a Republican Williamson County school board member who has thoughts about the vouchers. Eric, how are you today?
I'm good, Justin. Good to be here. Appreciate you having me.
So again, I always like to point out that you're Republican, even though, you know, school boards generally are nonpartisan, but they've lately become partisan by law.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important that people know that, you know, I'm not just here talking to somebody who agrees with me about every issue. You and I probably wouldn't agree about many issues, but when it comes to protecting public schools, I feel like we have common ground. From where I'm sitting, this is kind of just the latest front in the attack on public schools by a group of people who want to privatize public schools and want to steer public dollars to private entities anyway they can. Is that the way you see it? How do you see it? How do you see this voucher issue?
Yeah, good question, Justin. So I guess I see it not so much as wanting to privatize public schools, but wanting to subsidize private schools. And it's like anything else, you know, anytime there's the opportunity to expand your private enterprise, get good margin, make more profits or things like that, you're going to see private entities go after it and put a lot of weight behind it. And I think that's what we've seen with the lobbying. You know, it's certainly a good investment, hundreds of millions of dollars fed into your coffers. Well, then the investment in terms of hiring lobbyists and making campaign donations and buying votes is from a purely dollars and cents and taking the morality out of the argument. It's a wonderful investment. Unfortunately, you know, public education, we're in the business of educating kids, educating every single kid that comes to us, and not in the business of giving kickbacks to legislators to vote in our interest. So we're fighting a little bit with one arm tied behind our back, or in some cases, maybe it's two arms tied behind our back. So I think you're right. I think that is what we're seeing philosophically, you know, and you said it, you know, I tend to be much more center right, much more libertarian in my thinking. So ideologically, I'm not opposed to wherever you want to go and get your education for your child. I don't mind if you want to send them to a private school, if you want to send them to a public school, if you want to homeschool your kids, whatever. I don't care, as long as they're getting a good education. But once we bring public dollars into the equation, it's not your own money that you're spending. And that's so much of what this false argument is. It's, you know, it's talking about parents having the choice of how their dollars are spent. It's not the individual's dollars. It's all of us. We all pay into the system. And we're not paying for, you know, a specific child. We're paying for a system of schools that can educate all children. That's what public education is. We don't evaluate on the individual, you know, we say that, you know, if you're a child, you're a resident, you have access and a right to a quality education. And that's how we look at it and don't pick and choose. What's going on here is it's profit driven, at least from the sense of a lot of the out of state private entities that are coming in and really trying to lobby heavier for these dollars. I think there's a lot of dishonest arguments about what's the motivation behind it, what's the goal. I'm sure there's a lot of research and focus group messaging behind it of what to say and what to avoid. It's not exactly jiving with the reality of the circumstances.
Having been there for Governor Lee's announcement, you could feel, you know, this was like the culmination of lobbying that they had done. And, you know, you could feel that people were ready to dip their hands in the coffers. And it's important, as you said, we're talking about a lot of money. There's a lot of money in public education. And so if they can get the camel under the tent, so to speak, and get in there, eventually the floodgates would potentially open. Now, you're talking about the profit motive here, and I think it's really obvious that that's a part of this. Just playing devil's advocate for a second, you know, they would say, no, this is for the good of the kids. You know, what I say is you're leaving a lot of kids behind because it's maybe for the good of one or two kids here, even though the data doesn't necessarily show it even works for them. But you're leaving a lot of kids behind. So can you talk for a little bit about the idea that vouchers are for the good of the kids, which is what they're trying to say?
That obviously, that was one of the arguments early on, and we're only going to put them in failing school districts or in failing schools. Well, first off, well, how are you defining that? And that was never very clear. In order to get the initial wave vouchers, they pulled out Knoxville, which was not a failing system by any stretch. The governor didn't have the votes in Knoxville out, so they could buy Knoxville legislators to go ahead and vote for it. So there were some inconsistencies right off the bat. Williamson County Schools, we met in 2000 with our legislative delegation. Senator Jack Johnson was in the room, and we told him we're opposed as a group. We see this as encroaching as the very first step. And at that time, he you know, no, wanted us to stop talking about it. This won't affect Williamson County Schools. It doesn't. If it ever impacts Williamson County Schools, I'll use my position to oppose it. Here we are 4 years later, and he's completely flip-flopped on the issue, now currently supports it in Williamson County Schools under a system that's lost any criteria of has to be a failing school system. Well, we're the number one school system in terms of performance in the state. Then it was for economically disadvantaged students. Well, now they're talking about taking that away. If it's really about for the advantage of the student, then why isn't there any testing on it? Voucher program, you know, when initially passed, was sold to us that this is a pilot program. Well, anytime you have a pilot program, you measure, you evaluate the results, and then you make adjustments based upon those evaluations. Where's the data on that? We've seen very little of it. We've seen very little reported. There were some articles in the Tennessean about, you know, where TCAPs were applied. The numbers in the voucher schools were actually lower than those in where they originally came from. So that would be an indication of something is wrong here and pull back and evaluate. But instead, it's the opposite. It's full speed ahead and expand it. So it's hard to say that this is really about children in the interest of children when there's not really any evaluation of that. These are coupons for kids who are already in private schools to be able to subsidize their education. That's what we saw in states like Arizona, where they passed this already. About 75% of those vouchers went to students that were already in private schools. Blowing up the budgets, it's increasing the debts, not focused on kids who need this, a subsidy for children who are already in those systems. Again, you know, if that's where you want to send your kids, send them there. But if I don't want to use the library, it's not like I say, well, I want a voucher to be able to go to Barnes and Nobles and buy my own books because I can't find them there. I have the right to do that, but I don't have the right to pull out of the Williams County Library system.
And absolutely. You mentioned Arizona, where they're seeing their budget is crippled now because of this. They're seeing some schools closing. Tearfully, parents are testifying that vouchers and charters have had a lot to do with it. You also mentioned Jack Johnson and how he basically told you and Williams County that he would never support vouchers in Williams County. You know, he says that the reason that he is now for it is because never meant just not then. How do you take it when Jack says that never didn't mean never?
I think it's very Clintonian. It's very much, you know, never didn't mean never, in shades of what your definition of is, you know, never means never. And so it would be one thing if Jack came out and sort of said, you know what, I said that and I've had a change of heart, I've changed my mind, but don't come and tell us that never didn't mean never. He sat actually right next to him in the room. There were media present. Frankly, when he said it, Glenn Cassidy, who was there, kind of gave him a sideways, dirty look at the time. Because frankly, you know, we didn't really believe him. You know, we knew this was more politics at the time, but at least have the courtesy of not lying straight to our face.
Well, when Glenn Cassidy is giving you a dirty look because you're being shady, that's how you know you might be crossing the line here. I want to play for you a clip at the announcement of the voucher expansion, Governor Lee being asked if there was going to be accountability attached to these vouchers.
Private schools that accept public money have to also receive A through F grades.
Yeah, so let me just say that final details of this legislation aren't worked out. This is day one. The General Assembly will come back in January, and this will be a legislative effort. I mean, we're going to work together with the legislature to find the final, the final details of this legislation. This is a framework that we've put out to date, but we'll continue to work on it. So I don't know the detail answer for that.
Eric, when Governor Lee says that this program of his that has been basically his number one priority since he got to office, that he doesn't know the detailed answer about whether or not there's going to be accountability associated with that. Do you believe him?
I mean, look, we've been talking about this for how many years? You know, it's November, then come back in January. Well, it's 60 days. You're telling me you don't have a plan in place or details. And it would be one thing that the governor says, well, I can't guarantee anything because the legislature needs to pass it. But don't sit here and sort of throw your hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know. You certainly knew that you were pushing for a plan that didn't have any accountability in terms of school performance. You know that your plan isn't going to have any income requirements. You know that you're going to roll it out statewide. But then when you're asked sort of the most basic thing about, you know, accountability, are you going to test? I'm like, well, we don't know yet. It's 60 days away on this plan we've been working for since it got in. So pardon my French, but, you know, Governor, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. You know darn well that there's not going to be the same accountability that there are for public schools because, you know, your friends at Hillsdale and the other institutions that want to come in and get a hold of these money don't want that. And the other thing that they don't want is they don't want to have to accept every student like we do. And kind of going back to that legislative meeting we had with our delegation in there, I remember at the time it was Representative Cassidy before he was still in legislature and his indictment and arrest and all of that. One of the things he tried to sell us on about vouchers was competition. Well, competition is fabulous. You know, I have no issues at all about competition. But if you're going to take public dollars, then you need to have the accountability. You need to be measured in the same way. You need to have those results published in the same way. I'll put Williamson County Schools toe-to-toe against any public, private charter school in the state or the country. Now, that's not saying, you know, necessarily the number one best, but we're pretty darn good. And apples to apples, you're going to be awfully hard-pressed to find anyone out there that does what we do. And that's why I think a lot of these groups, they don't want that. They don't want to say, well, let's look at economically disadvantaged kids, English second language. Let's look at those who have special needs and disabilities and that. A lot of these private schools that are salivating about taking these, you know, coupons for public dollars is they're not going to want to take students that are high cost, low margin. Those are the students that are going to be pushed back to the public school system because nobody else is going to want them. They have special needs, behavioral issues. They don't toe the line in terms of, you know, any doctrine. There's no oversight there from the state of what are the guidelines and requirements. Those are all decided by the school systems. When they call it school choice, it's in some ways, it's a very apt description because it's the school that chooses, not the individual parents.
That's right. These vouchers are really going to take money from public schools. And one of the things that we're hearing from Governor Lee and from Sapicki is that they're not going to hurt the budgets of public schools. Can you just take that on for a minute and tell us, you know, how are they trying to say steering all this money from public schools to private schools won't hurt public school budgets?
Ridiculous statement, completely unbelievable. You look at Williamson County Schools, what we get for state funding is about $4,000 per student. The vouchers, what they're talking about is $7,000. So $3,000 more per student is what they're talking about giving to potentially go out of county or somewhere else or homeschool as opposed to a public system. And, you know, you start comparing those side by side. Williams County Schools, we accept every single student, regardless of needs, and we provide for them, regardless of creed or race, economic situation. You are absolutely welcomed and wanted and loved and brought in with open arms, and we take care of you, and we give you the very best education that we can provide you. As a citizen of this community, you have the ability to have a voice of who's in charge of the school district. You can vote for those of us on the Board of Education. You can't do that for a private school. Review all of our curriculum. curriculum material, school books. You have the ability to weigh in, to look at what's in our library, restrict any books or texts that you don't want your child to see. None of that you have in a private, you know, voucher system where you're going ahead and get these taxpayer subsidized coupons. One of them is going to be, again, $7,000 versus $4,000 for the one that has the transparency and open, isn't operated as a for-profit. And money's fungible. Again, I'm going to go back to the Arizona model where they said 75% of those vouchers went to students who had never been in a public school system. Now you're just talking about adding where, if Governor Lee is talking about where he wants to go with this, which is a universal system for all, tens of thousands of kids at $7,000 a pop, or hundreds of thousands of kids, really, $7,000 a pop, that you're going to start adding all these additional funds for. That's hundreds of millions of dollars, a $900 million hole in the Arizona budget. And the satisfaction levels, frankly, with vouchers aren't all that great. In Florida, where they've had it, and they've had some initial rollbacks of things, about 30% of the kids who do use the vouchers end up going back. And so then it's just a wasted investment. So it's a huge drain on the resources. Comparing apples and broccoli in terms of the dollars amount and the requirements behind it, the measurements and all the different things that go with it, to sort of say, what is it? It's a money saver? No. Nowhere that it's been done has been shown to be a money saver. It's a huge money loss. Nowhere that it's been done has it seemed to improve the performance, increased transparency, has it allowed more public input into what goes on. I don't care where you educate your kid. I'm not even ideologically opposed to the concept of, if you're stuck in a failing school system, it's either unwilling or doesn't have the ability to get out of that, to be able to give some alternatives to that. I think that's a strong argument to make, and we can start to have that debate and what that looks like and what are the guidelines, guardrails behind that. But that's not at all what this is. This is a pure free-for-all where we're going to just start throwing these education coupons out to our out-of-state donors, salivating at the thought of getting this money so they can start increasing their profit margins.
Do you know if there's a plan to pass any kind of resolution at the Williamson County School Board? Is this going to be a topic coming up soon? I know you're off in December, but do you anticipate some sort of action being taken by the Williamson County School Board?
I hope so. I can't speak. There's 12 of us on the board. I can only speak for myself. I'm certainly supportive of something along those lines, but I don't know where my colleagues stand, because you go back to the transparency of it. You know, we don't deliberate in private about these things.
You don't have a group text?
We do not.
Okay, well, that's good to know. My other question would be, and this is something that I got asked when I went on 99.7, discussed some of these issues with somebody who I have very little in common with, but it was a fruitful discussion. You know, he asked me why I thought Williamson County had such good schools. And I guess I would pose that question to you. What are some of the reasons that you think Williamson County is able to have such a good school system and reputation?
That's a great question. So when you look at it, I think there's two ways that you got to look at. There's academic achievement and there's academic growth. And academic achievement is basically, you know, if you think about what's your 40 time, it's how fast did you run? And we run really fast. And part of that, we're very blessed in that we do have an affluent community. We do have parents that are very supportive of the school system, want their children to do well, that go home. And not that every child is like that by any stretch. And, you know, you don't know what goes on behind individual families, but it's fair to say our demographics are better than a lot of our, you know, sister counties or so forth. And so we need to own that. And that does impact some of our academic achievement. But then you start digging in, our academic peers are great across the board. So even students with ESL or special needs outperforming the state averages for those groups, but they're also outperforming in most cases the state average of a student in general, even when you look at those subpopulations. And so I think that's a testament to the great work our teachers do, the leadership we have at the building level and our principals in the district office, strategic plan that we put in place, 5-year plans. And we really are kind of long-term about where we want to be, what is the growth. We break it down into baby steps to get there, and that's how we accomplish it. The other side that I alluded to that is academic achievement, and that's comparing like-minded groups to like-minded groups. And that's another area we really exceed. So, you know, when people sort of say, well, you know, Williamson County Schools achieves because of its demographics, yeah, there's some truth to that, but that's not the only reason why. And if you start looking at, you know, comparing the high-achieving kids to high-achieving kids, we're still excelling. And so going back and using that sort of analogy of, you know, the sprinter, it's hard for Usain Bolt to shave huge amounts of time off his 100 meter dash. But there's that incremental growth performance that we see. And we see that among all groups. So we're really moving the needle for all students, because as a public school system, we're taking all students. I would say it's just sort of a philosophy of a lot of rigor is another thing with us. We want to push our kids. We want to push every kid because of your background, your demographics. You know, you can't succeed. We don't accept that. We want to get you there. The big reasons why we've just been so successful in both our, you know, academic achievement and our academic growth.
Well, I have two kids that are coming up through the Williamson County public school system, and, you know, we're very happy so far. You know, at the end of the day, it really comes down to teachers and people caring. And we find that for sure in the schools that we've dealt with so far. And, you know, obviously that permeates throughout the county and throughout the system. Personally, do really appreciate that. I would hate to see anything that happens be a detriment to that. Just as a final thing, you know, it seems to be like this orthodoxy in some circles, quote unquote, public schools are failing, even though a lot of times when you drill down into, well, how do you like your public school? People like it. How do you like your teacher? You like it. Where does that idea that public schools in general are failing come from? Is there any truth to that? In certain spots, obviously we need to do better, but are public schools failing?
Whenever you hear someone say that, I always sort of challenge them to go, what do you mean by that? What are you basing that upon? What are you comparing? You know, are they taking the same tests?
Part of this obviously is financial, no question, but also there's an ideological push here where people feel like public schools are teaching kids leftist indoctrination or grooming, you know, the LGBT stuff. Do you feel like part of this voucher push is coming from people who want to dismantle that and are misguided about it? Because a lot of times their kids aren't even in these schools.
Well, I think there's some truth to that, and there's some fairness. I think what happens is you take the worst of the worst stories and you try to extrapolate that and apply to everywhere else. I can't justify everything that might go on in a school district in Berkeley, California. I don't want to. But Franklin, Tennessee is not Berkeley, California. And so that's one of the challenges that we have, quite honestly, is we have a lot of influx of individuals from the out of state, and they're bringing those, you know, preconceptions and those biases from what they might have heard or in some cases even experienced there, and now trying to apply them to Franklin, Tennessee in general, or some of the other things. And I just go, look, you're in Tennessee. We don't indoctrinate. We have state standards, statewide board of education that the governor appoints. We take the curriculums they approve, and frankly, we use it as a floor, not a ceiling, but we, you know, keep it within those guardrails. And that's what we're teaching. Coupons that the governor wants to give out for, you know, private schools, they don't have that. They don't have the same guidelines and the same checks and balances and the same transparency and openness to allow you to look into curriculum and books and everything else that we do. One of the things that we know, and one of the things that we're very blessed about, our home values, the desirability of this community, that people have been moving here in large numbers. Overwhelmingly, it's for the school system. If you go to Williamson Inc. Chamber of Commerce event, what is the competitive advantage that we have in this county that helps keep our property values up, that helps keep businesses coming in? And it's the quality of the public school system. And what's sad is the governor was educated here in Williamson County Schools. I don't know why he has this anger against public school, since he got a wonderful education himself at Franklin High School, which allowed him to go and get his engineering degree at Auburn, so a great base. But quality of our school system here in Williamson County really sets us apart. So if the governor is successful, if Senator Johnson is successful in passing the scheme and tearing down our school system, it's going to hurt the property values of a lot of residents here in Williamson County. There's the right and wrong issue of it, which we've talked a lot about, taking care of kids and not giving away more money for schools that don't accept everyone, that don't have the same standards than you do for public school system. But there's also the self-interest story. This is really going to economically hurt our community if they vote for this. And so that's something that, you know, everyone who is employed here, has a small business here, has a home here, really needs to sort of think about and consider as well.
Eric Welch, Williamson County School Board. Appreciate you coming on here. Follow him at Eric Welch, WCS on Twitter. Eric, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Jess. Appreciate you.
All right. So that's Eric. Some really valid points. Appealing to the self-interest of Williamson County property owners, which I think is important to do. This is a program that is not going to just help low-income students that are in quote unquote failing schools, force them to define that when they say it, because they say it so freely without anything backing it up. And oftentimes it's the people that don't have kids in these schools that say that. This program is a universal program without any sort of limits on who it goes to, where it goes. That is a lot of money out the door. I think something like $7 billion at the top end. Obviously, we're not saying that every kid in public schools is going to be in a private school tomorrow, but you can see what the long-term plan is. And that long-term plan will play out over a long period of time, at which point Governor Lee will be long gone. Stink bomb that he's lighting off will then continue to impact communities like Williamson County, school boards like Williamson County's, Collierville, Greenville, for many years to come, because once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it's very hard to put it back in. Once this happens, it's hard to reverse it. That's programs cut. That's teachers fired. Sports teams cut. That's what's happening in other states. Entire schools are closing in Arizona, and they blame these vouchers and charters. In Iowa, they say vouchers don't offset tuition increases, because what ends up happening is prices just go up. It's not like all of this money is going to low-income kids and changing their lives. Money is going into the pockets of greedy special interest. And that is who was at Governor Lee's announcement. I was there. That's who was in that room. Lobbyists, people with their hands out. Three or four legislators that voted to push vouchers through the first time now have six-figure jobs in Governor Lee's administration. And I'm hearing rumors that the leaders of this push, they themselves have jobs waiting for them. So let's be clear. This is not about helping kids. This is about stuffing pockets. Thanks for following. We'll see you next time. Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee. To Tennessee.